many a slip. And here is your chairman, Roy Plumley.
Many a slip round two and the ladies won round one easily. The teams on my right, the ladies, Isabel Barnett and Eleanor Summerfield. On my left, the gentlemen, Richard Murdoch and David Nixon. I have some pieces which I read out, and these pieces have mistakes in them. The first player to spot a mistake presses a button. If it's a member of the ladies' team, you'll hear this. If it's a gentleman, you'll hear this. Scoring when we come to it, and the chairman's decision is final no matter how wrong he is. First piece. Humphrey Pumfret, the many-a-slip detective, was enjoying sitting in the court at the trial of a criminal and hearing the sentence... Richard Murdoch.
There's no... If it's his trial, it's not decided yet whether he's a criminal.
Hearing the sentence is wrong.
He could have been a confirmed criminal.
Oh, but he's no. We're only talking about this case. He's not a criminal until he's guilty.
Yes, you're rather jumping. It's a bit subjudice.
Court misses her there.
No.
I'm going to give you one mark.
It's his first offence, you see.
Messiters or the criminals.
And the scoring. It's one mark for spotting mistake, another for correcting it, and the marks are credited to your team. But if you press a button for a mistake and there isn't one, then the marks go to the opposing team. And our scorer is the mathematical Messiter. He was sitting in the court at the trial of a criminal and hearing the sentence of guilty. Although he had been instrumental, David Nixon...
The verdict of guilty?
The verdict of guilty, much better, 2 marks. Although he had been instrumental in the arrest, it had only come about because the police had thrown an accordion round the house. David Nixon.
I hope they were members of the musicians' union. Yeah. They were putting the squeeze on, weren't they?
Oh, dear.
Would a cordon...
A cordon will do for 2 marks. Even with that precaution for the man's escape, the criminal had... Isabel Barnett.
Don't you take precautions against rather
yes,
than
you
for...
do. Against the man's mistake. Escape. 2 marks. The criminal had descended down a main drain. Eleanor Summerfield.
He couldn't descend anywhere but down. So that's tautology.
That's tautology.
Start.
That's 2 marks. But Pumfret, who had put himself entirely at the dispersal of the police... David Nixon.
At
dispersal.
Dispersal, 2 marks. Got into the same drain by going down another manhole cover. Isabel Barnett.
But they hadn't gone down a manhole cover. I mean, they were
you
still descending.
You can't go down a cover anyway.
Anyway, no.
No.
Thank you.
No. Yes.
It's a little confused, ladies, but I get the meaning.
You know.
We leave out the word cover. Is that your wish?
Yes, thank you.
For 2 marks, right. The criminal found himself in an impasse with no way out. Pumfret was afraid of... David Nixon.
Could that be tautology?
Yes, it could.
If it's an impasse, it must be.
No way out. Pumfret, 2 marks, was afraid of having his throat cut behind his back, but he need not have... Here's the bell button.
It might have been done from behind, but he keeps his throat in front.
Advisable, 2 marks. Mm. But he need not have worried as the wanted man gave himself up. Before the court pronounced the verdict of 6 months, the defendant was asked, Isabel Barnett.
Before the court pronounced the verdict of 6 months. No, that's the sentence. The verdict is guilty or not guilty.
2 marks. Without showing the least sign of emotion and an...
I'm sorry.
Just one to the ladies. Without showing the least sign of emotion... And in a calm voice, he said nothing. David Nixon.
He must have been a ventriloquist.
He was, 2 marks. And the score, the gentlemen are in the lead, 17 to 11.
Ah.
Oscar Wilde wrote The Importance of Being Earnest in 1905, and those who have seen it agree, Eleanor Summerfield.
I think it was before the turn of the century.
Give me an estimate.
5 years before rather than 5 years after.
1895, exactly right for 2 marks. And those who've seen it agree it's a wonderful piece of slapstick and a satire... Isabel Barnett.
No, it's comedy.
It's
not...
comedy, 2 marks.
Not
and
about...
a satire on the clergy and the civil service of the day...
It's nothing to do with clergy or civil servants. It's about the sort of upper crust.
The upper crust for 2 marks. Although Wilde has been nearly dead for 3/4 of a century. Eleanor Summerfield.
He's not nearly dead. He is very dead.
Two marks. None of the humour seems to have lost its edge. It's concerned with the aspirations of Jack Worthing for the hand and presumably the rest of the beautiful Gladys Fairfax. Eleanor Summerfield.
No, Cecily. No, that was
Gwendolyn.
His thing.
Gwendolyn.
For two marks. You could have got two more points if you'd pointed out it should have been the aspirations of
to
Jack Worthing.
To the hand. Yes. You aspire to the hand.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And marks are important at the moment because you're 19 each. Who is the daughter of the intrepid Lady Winkle? Isabel Barney.
Oh, I knew you were going to make it. What was she
Bracknell.
Called?
Bracknell,
two marks. In the 1952 film version directed by Anthony Asquith, this was a part unforgettably played by Dame Lillian Braithwaite. Richard Murdoch.
It was Dame Edith Evans.
So it was for two marks. Lady Bracknell at this point encourages the marriage. Isabel
Barney. She's dead again, the whole thing.
Again it, two marks. Mm. Because of the obscurity of Worthing's background, he has no information as to whom his parents are or were. Eleanor Summerfield.
No, I suppose he hasn't.
Who? Who they were, not whom.
Oh, that's right,
whom.
Two marks. Whom. And he admits to having been discovered.
What?
He admits to having been discovered by Cardew Robinson, in of all... David Nixon.
But it wasn't Cardew.
It was Mr. Cardew. Something Cardew,
yes.
Wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Thomas Cardew.
Yes.
Two marks. In of all places, a handbag on Waterloo Station. Isabel Barnett.
No, it was Victoria, the Brighton line.
Two marks. It turns out that his name is really Ernest John Moncrief, and he's the brother of Bunbury. David Nixon.
A mistake.
One mark. Eleanor Summerfield.
Unless David hasn't finished. Have you finished?
He's finished.
No, Bunbury didn't exist.
No, Bunbury
was an imaginary character.
Yes. Whose brother was he?
Of, Come with an A.
Algernon. Yes, the other mark. It all ends happily at the finish, which is a constant theme. Isabel Barnett.
That's tautology. If it ends, you don't need the finish.
Right. Which is a constant theme in all Wilde's writing. David Nixon.
No, he didn't always have happy endings, did he?
Well, tell me something, a work in which didn't have a happy ending.
Well, he's
Dorian
got one
Gray.
Point, isn't
he? Dorian Gray, right.
Yes.
Two marks.
Mm.
And at the end of that Oscar Wilde piece, oh, they've lost their lead, the gentlemen. 26 against 31 to the ladies. Memory test. Now I read out a piece of verse, and later in the program I'll read it again, but differently, and the teams will tell me the difference. There's a rumour about that a Nona was seen in a red silk kimono. I don't think for a minute there's anything in it. Well, nothing apart from a Nona. And now over to our musical mistakes man at the piano, Steve Race.
Those are the first two bars of Beethoven's Sonata Pathétique. Isabel.
No.
Yes.
Oh, I thought it was the Appassionata.
No, that would be quite different. This is the Pathétique. He dedicated it to Prince Karl von Lichnowsky. And the story goes that the prince, David Nixon...
The Lichnowsky sounds as though you made it up.
Well, no, actually I said Lichnowsky.
Lichnowsky.
And I didn't make it up. Prince Karl von Lichnowsky made it up. Or rather, his father did.
He inherited it.
So that's two back to the ladies. Actually, the story goes that the prince, on hearing it for the first time, said, as the sonata ended, "That's pathetic." And it was called the... Eleanor, how nice to meet you.
No,
you're right. You're right, too. You're right, too. Quite near the start of that slow movement is a major scale. It's not the slow movement, by the way.
Too
late, Isabel. It's the first movement. A little too late, I think. There's a major scale followed by a big, bold tune. I'll play it for you from the start.
That last phrase, Steve, was wrong.
Well, Beethoven and I think it's right, actually.
Loved it. Yes.
Well, I could improve. If you've got 5 minutes, I could improve on it.
So that's two to the ladies, and I'll pick it up from there.
Oh, that's dead wrong.
Isabel, how should it go? Or alternatively, what is that? Not how does it go, Isabel? What is it?
I have no idea. Should we go back to that pathetic thing?
Yes, all right.
I have no idea either. Just know that was dead wrong.
I think you'll get two marks anyway for knowing. Here's something rather interesting. Beethoven, spelt backwards, sounds something like Nevotib. Tchaikovsky, backwards.
Oh, no.
Sounds like Iswakiakt. Or
you
David
put,
Nixon.
You put a T on the end.
Well, there's a T there on the front of Tchaikovsky.
It's pronounced Ch.
Yeah, but the other way around, it's act. No, I'm right about this.
No, sounds, you said, not looks.
Ah, Roy, he's right, isn't he?
He's right, yes.
He's right, yes. Right. And anybody who's right... And anybody who's right when the rest of us are all wrong gets three marks on this game. Quite right. I was going to point out that Tchaikovsky can be spelt with a W or a V, according to whichever you prefer. Either spelling is acceptable, so you have two alternatives. Now, here's Eleanor.
Here, you have two choices.
Or one alternative.
One alternative.
All right, for two marks, yes. Here's a theme by Brahms. Dicky, hello.
Well, I thought it was time I joined
You've sent
in.
Him to sleep.
you get a mark for that.
Yeah.
No, don't. Yes. Don't push
you
your
played
luck.
It wrong. It's not the way
no,
I
No, I didn't. You don't get the mark.
Oh.
I attributed it wrongly, actually. Brahms arranged it. It wasn't written by him. Was that what you were going to say, Alan?
Well, that's what I was thinking.
I'll pretend it wasn't. Yes.
We'll give you a mark each for that. Brahms.
No, I wasn't really going
no.
to say that.
All right, mark for Dickie then.
Yes.
Brahms backwards is smarb. Bach backwards is chab. And the only... Isabel.
Not chab.
A cab. That's too much. All right. The only palindromic composer I can think of is Nin. N-I-N. 1879 to 1849. As for Isabel.
Did he die before he was born?
He was a pretty backward child. You're right, I should have said 1949. Who else is Paleolithic? Well, there's... Eleanor?
We haven't talked about anybody Paleolithic. Palindromic.
Palindromic, yes. There's Dad, Mum, Sis, and Eve. Dickie Murdoch.
Sis is Miss Courtenage, I'm thinking of. She's C-I-S.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of Sister, S-I-S, so you don't get any marks there. Eve, actually, figures in a number of songs, and the garden where she lived, to the Garden of Eden. A Garden of Eden just meant for two. Isabel.
Wasn't that wrong?
No.
What was wrong?
A Garden of Eden... just made for two.
She's right. Changed the key.
The words were wrong, though. It was made for two. I'll pick it up from there. David. Yes, I played. I should have been. You're right. Just to wrap things up for this programme, here's the very end of that song made famous by George Robey and Vester Tilly. Here it is. David, you rang before I'd made the mistake. What had you in mind?
Sir George
Robey.
Sir George Robey.
Why should I help you out of your problems? I'll start again. Made famous by George Robey and Vester Tilly. And here's the end of that song. Nicky.
It was Violet Lorraine.
You get the mark. Ah. Yes. David.
And you.
You get.
Were the only.
All together.
Thank you, Steve Race. It's close, you know, 44 to the gentlemen, 46 to the ladies. There's a story about that a no-no... Eleanor Summerfield.
There was a rumour about...
Two marks. Was seen in a black wool kimono. David Nixon.
A red silk.
Two marks. I don't think for a moment. David Nixon.
I don't think for a minute.
Two marks. There's a word of truth in it. Isabel Barney.
There's anything in it.
Two marks. Possibly Jerry Colonna. David Nixon.
Nothing that is but an owner. Nothing except Anona. Nothing.
Nothing.
Only Anona. 1 point.
1 point. If the ladies.
Nothing could, that is apart from Anona.
Apart from. Point to the ladies. Anona. Nothing apart from Anona. Score then 49 to the gentlemen, 51 to the ladies. Thinking back to 1942, the main subject of 1942 seemed to many at the time to be the war. Rommel captured Tobruk, which until then had been. David Nixon?
Slip of the thumb.
Just one to the ladies, which until then had been French-held. Isabel Barnett?
No, it's held by Australians, New Zealanders and British.
2 marks. The Axis forces reached El Alamein, at which point Montgomery was defeated. David
he
Nixon?
Wasn't.
No, he wasn't.
He beat Rommel, two
he,
marks.
He
but other things right. were happening, 2 marks, which had no connection with the war. For instance, Sartre wrote the play Les Mouches. C.S. Lewis wrote the Screwtape Letters. Ilya Ehrenberg, the Russian novelist, wrote The Fall of Paris. In the world of entertainment, Isabel Barnett.
But that was a war story about the fall of Paris.
It was, 2 marks. In the world of entertainment, Disney produced Bambi and Greer Garlick appeared in the film... Greer Garson, 2 marks, appeared in the film Mrs. Miniature, opposite that fine David Nixon. Mrs. Miniver, 2 marks, opposite that fine and sensitive actor Walter Dove. Richard Murdoch.
Pigeon,
2 marks. The George Cross was awarded to the island of Malta by the Queen. Isabel Barnett.
It was a king in those days.
George VI, 2 marks. This was also the year of the discovery of the Mildenhall treasure, a large collection of Roman silver found in Sussex. Isabel Barnett.
Well, if it was named after where it was found, it must be Suffolk.
Suffolk, 2 marks. Score now 60 to the gentlemen, 68 to the ladies. Now a paragraph written without clichés, although some people regard them as the alpha and omega of conversation. David Nixon.
I would call that a cliché.
Which?
The alpha and omega.
So would I. 2 marks. Letting them occur ad infinitum. David Nixon.
Sounds like another one.
It does indeed. Ad infinitum, 2 marks. It would be almost impossible in the cold light of reason. Richard Murdoch.
In the cold light of reason.
2 marks. To remove all hackneyed phrases... David Nixon?
Hackneyed phrases?
Oh, no. Two to the ladies.
No.
As many of them are part of our heritage. Eleanor Summerfield.
Isn't part of our heritage rather overused?
I don't think so. How else would you express it?
Never mind.
No, he won't.
Part of our heritage from the dim and distant past. It must be quite...
Now,
Isabel
dim
Barnett.
And distant past is a good old
That's
hack.
A cliché, 2 marks. It must be quite apparent to the discerning listener... David Nixon.
The discerning thing. Listen.
Certainly. 2 marks. That in point of fact, clichés have been used... Richard Murdoch.
In point of fact.
2 marks. Clichés have been used from time immemorial. David Nixon.
Time immemorial.
Certainly. 2 marks. Good broadcasters spare no pains in their avoidance. Isabel
Barnett. Spare no pains.
2 marks. But in many broadcasts, if one listens for more than just a minute... David Nixon.
Just a minute. It's another radio show.
Yes, I know. There's a commercial here that Messer has put in. It soon shows that there's many a slip. And I refuse.
We're not happening.
No, neither of those two phrases is a cliche. Score now 80 to the gentlemen, 74 to the ladies. Names. If your name is Brown, it's very likely that one of your ancestors, if he was a forebear, had green. Yes, who was that?
Well, it was me. He must have been a forebear.
He must indeed. 2 marks. David Nixon, do you want to argue?
I'm going for 3 points here. You said...
You mean Goldilocks and the Three Bears?
No. You said if he was a forebear, if he were a forebear, please.
Yes, you're right. For 3 marks, of course. Had brown hair or skin, but if it is Brownsmith, it's possible that it's a reference to a copper or brass smith. If your Christian name is Isabel, you may like to know it's the Spanish form of Enid. And the surname Barnett, Isabel Barnett.
No, it's the Spanish for Elizabeth.
It is indeed. 2 marks. You ought to know. And the surname Barnett is a reference to the wearing of a bonnet. Stanhope means Isabel Barnett.
I don't know what Barnett means, I must confess, but I'm... darned if I think it's wearing a bonnet. None of my husband's ancestors were ever seen in a bonnet.
In your Easter bonnet.
It possibly
I'm sure
means,
it's not there.
Possibly means a burned clearing in the bracken or heather. 2 marks. Stanhope means stony valley. Shelton might have been a place on a ledge or bank. When we went in search for the origins of the name Hatton... Eleanor Summerfield.
Did you say in search for?
Yes, I did.
Should you say it in search of?
Yes, I should. 2 marks. We found that in spite of its distinguished lineage from the Elizabethan courtier David Nixon...
Lineage,
yes. Lineage means payment at so much a line. 2 marks. From the Elizabethan courtier of 1664... Isabel Barnett.
Wrong date. Elizabeth was around in the 1500s.
1564. 2 marks. Who was appointed Lord Chancellor after the Queen's death in 1587. Isabel Barnett.
No, she died in 1603.
Right. 2 marks. The name Hatton only means a place on the heath. 8. Yes, David Nixon. An afterthought.
I'm sure there was a sting in the tail. Mistake at the end.
There wasn't at all, so that's 2 to the ladies. And it's a pity you gave them that, because that brings them up to 89, whereas the gentlemen have 95.
Wow.
The many-a-slip game warden, Willem van Stoop, this week finds himself in an untamed African jungle, listening to the hunting call of a lion. David Nixon.
I don't think that was a lion.
What was it, then?
It was the lesser warthog.
It wasn't. It was a tiger.
Tiger.
What does a lion sound like? Let's hear what a lion sounds like.
What, from me?
From you. 1 mark.
Well, that's a very young lion.
All right. You've got 2 marks. Let's hear what a real lion sounds like.
That's not a... Is that really
that
a lion?
That was a real lion. What we played first was a tiger. Being thoroughly alarmed...
They lived in the house on the corner.
Being thoroughly alarmed, Willem shins up a sequoia in time to catch a fleeting glimpse of a silvery gibbon. Back on the ground again... David Nixon.
The silvery gibbon?
Yes.
There aren't any gibbons in Africa. Not silvery ones.
Quite right, yes. They're only wild in Java and Borneo. 2 marks. You could have got another 2. Isabel Barnett?
I don't think you shin up a sequoia.
Why not?
It's got too many branches.
Because sequoias, like big sequoia and red sequoia, only grow in North America.
2 marks. Oh. That's the answer I wanted. Back on the ground again...
Yes,
Willem,
you said
Richard
that
Murdoch.
Before. It would be better if you just said back on the ground. You don't need a game.
Quite right. Quite right. For 3 marks. Yes. Mess it around again. Back on the ground, he suddenly heard... which he knew was a crocodile. Eleanor Summerfield.
That was no crocodile.
What was it, then?
I tremble to think. Someone in a terrible state.
What?
It was a creature.
Yes.
Yes.
Such as?
Like a water-type creature.
Such as?
Ooh, the heavy hippopotamus.
Right. Yes.
It was its stomach rumbling.
No. Now, let's have your imitation of a crocodile.
Well, it doesn't make much noise, except when it's not very well.
Let us have your impersonation of a sick crocodile.
It goes sort of... like that.
I didn't mean as sick as that. You've got your 3 marks. Willem went the other way, only to be met with a loud... which some people may recognize as a black wildebeeste or a white-tailed gnu. Yes, David Nixon.
I've never heard a wildebeest sound like that.
I'm sorry.
Nothing like it. That was my wife when I get home late.
Well, it's also a black wildebeeste or a white-tailed gnu.
Is it?
Tell Mrs. Nixon. 2 to the ladies. Further on, he heard the distinctive bark of a zebra or zebra. Isabel Barnes.
That's no zebra.
What is it, then?
It sounds like some bird. Parrot of some kind.
Not at all.
Oh.
Oh. What is it?
But anyway, it's not a zebra.
It's a bullfrog from Ceylon, so you don't get a mark
oh.
from that.
Well, oh, I get never one gave for me no a chance. Wasn't a
I was
zebra.
Going to say it was a frog.
Were you?
Can I have it now, because you didn't give me a chance?
No!
Would you like Richard Murdoch to give us the sound of a zebra for one mark?
Well, it's a zebra.
Yeah. we'll hear a real one and then make up our minds. No mark for Murdoch. At this, he fled swiftly out of the jungle to the veldt, where he'd left his Land Rover and drove away. Isabel Body.
That's not a Land Rover.
What is it, then?
It's a motor bicycle.
So it is. Would you like to give us your impression of a Land Rover?
Well, they're a wonderful firm, and so it's very quiet. And mine doesn't start, so... no noise at all. Except...
Well, mine goes beep, beep.
Let's hear what they've got on the disc.
That's a wildebeest.
Just one mark to Isabel. Score now. 100 to the ladies, 107 to the gentlemen.
Wow!
So both teams have won one round each. Until next week, then, on behalf of the two teams, Isabel Barnett and Eleanor Summerfield and Richard Murdoch and David Nixon and Steve Race, our musical mistakes man, I'll say goodbye.
Many a Slip was written and devised by Ian Messiter. The chairman was Roy Plumley and the producer, Trafford Whitelock.